there's just especially verse 12 that really caught my attention as I was studying through this area of Scripture, and so that's where we're going to mainly focus in on. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to 2 John, I figured whenever I put down 12 and 13, if you weren't used to 2 John, you'd think I was going to be covering two chapters. But since you know there's only one chapter, it's two verses. So anyway, the title of today's message is The Church Meets Face to Face. And I know that some might think, well, he's coming here to criticize people that didn't come to church during the COVID lockdown. That's not what I'm here to do. In fact, the entire time I knew everybody had different needs and different concerns and different things that they needed to think about in that. But this is as a general principle. This is a biblical principle that the church is meant to meet face to face. And one of the reasons why I am preaching on this is because I preach through areas of Scripture, whole books, chapters, and I don't want to skip over stuff just because it may be unpopular. So I know that during that whole year or whatever, and some of it went into a year and a half, and there was a lot of discussions, and some of that's still happening in our family. We have one member of our family on Shelly's side of the family who, if you say you're pro-life and you didn't lock yourself down for a year and a half and not see anybody, she will attack you, and she is still attacking. Every time she gets a chance, you put something on your Facebook about being pro-life, if you're on Facebook, she's all over it. You're not pro-life unless you totally locked yourself away for a year. What are you talking about being pro-life? I don't understand why you're saying you're pro-life. Well, I'm just going to tell you, unfortunately, this young lady has never gone back to church. Even though they've said it's not a pandemic anymore, it's an endemic now, it's just like the flu or anything else, she still won't go back to church. Unfortunately, churches have closed down. They don't even see why they need to meet face-to-face anymore. And the question comes up, why do we even need to meet face-to-face? We can just do it on Facebook Live. Well, the first time we had a Facebook Live, we were in the parking lot having an outdoor service during that whole lockdown because we didn't know how contagious it was going to be. We didn't want to invite everybody into the building and have a whole bunch of people come down with it the very first weekend, but we did continue to meet during that time. We figured out different ways to do it. And I remember the first Facebook Live, we had 525 people tune in. The second one, we had 300. The third one, we had 200. Before you knew it, we only had about 50 people tuning in, because here's the thing, if we're not really committed to meeting, we may have good sentiment. We may even have some warm and fuzzy sometimes, but it'll dwindle away. Whenever I read this scripture, and I'm going to get to it, don't worry, it just really spoke to me. I used to look at church folk, because I was lost until I was a little past 29. I was almost 30 whenever I got saved. And I used to look at church folk, and I used to think, man, them people are fanatics. If they're there every time the doors open, what in the world? They just must not have a life. They don't have a life like me. I went to the river and fished and stuff on Sunday. That was my fishing day. It wasn't until after Jesus got a hold of my heart that I began to understand. So before I even get into this scripture, I just want to explain to you, if you haven't called on Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do that right now. We're not even going to wait till the invitation. I'm going to give you an invitation right now to give your heart to Jesus. Jesus is the only way that we can be in heaven someday, is through him. He's the only way that we can be forgiven of our sin. And yes, we are all sinners, every last one of us, me included. The Bible says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and because of our sin, we deserve eternal punishment, because we have sinned against an eternal God. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16. God sent his only Son, and his only Son came, Jesus, a part of the Trinity of God, a part of God. And he came through the Virgin Mary, gave his 33 years to live here on planet Earth and feel our pain, even experience our temptation, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned one time. You see, this is really important because since I sin, I deserve to die because the wages of sin is death. But since Jesus never sinned, he could actually pay the price for our sins on the cross. He could be our ransom because he didn't deserve to die. Then when he gave his life, he could say, Father, I am going to do this and take their place. And so he went to the cross willingly. He didn't deserve it. He never did anything wrong. And yet he went and he bore our sin on that cross. Substitutionary atonement, that's called. He paid the price and he died. It was the darkest day ever. He died. In fact, it was dark all over the earth for 3 hours while he hung on that cross until he said, it's finished. And then a great earthquake happened. The rock split. And he died. It still shocks me to say that. He died. And they took his body down and they laid him in a tomb, and because the Sabbath was coming and good Jews would never break the Sabbath, they hurried up and did it before nightfall, and they stuck him in there because they weren't going to work on the Sabbath. And then after the Sabbath was over and on the first day of the week, they ran to the tomb to take care of his body, and guess what? His body wasn't there anymore because he had risen from the dead. He was resurrected. And you know what? It proved. It proved that everything he said was true. That he was, in fact, pleasing to the Father. That his death on that cross had paid for our sins. When he died, he said, it's finished. And he meant everything that ever needed to happen to pay for your sin and my sin happened on that cross. But here's the thing. We have to accept him as our Lord. And I can't do that for you. You can't even manufacture it, but God can draw your heart. And if he does, you need to confess Jesus as your Lord. And if you will confess him as your Lord, that means your boss, your king. I'm not on my throne anymore. Jesus took the throne of my heart. So when that happened to me, Jesus went back to heaven 40 days later. He is at heaven right now at the right hand of the Father. He is making intercession for us. That means he is going to the Father on our behalf. Whenever we pray, the Holy Spirit is involved in the prayer. Jesus receives the prayer, and Jesus takes it to the Father. And I'm just going to say, whenever that began to Jesus began to reign in my life, and I had given my life to him as my Lord, I began to understand why those church folk were at that church, meeting face to face. I was sitting in a deer stand that first morning that I had decided to follow Jesus, and buddy, I'll tell you what, I hadn't missed an opening day of deer season in my life. I hadn't missed an opening weekend of deer season where I would hunt the entire weekend. My whole adult life, and on that Sunday morning, I was sitting in that deer stand, and I thought, man, I just feel like I need to be in a church. And yeah, I was praying to God. I know I can pray to God anywhere, but God really put it strongly on my heart that we had been talking about visiting this church, and I just got down out of that deer stand, and I thought, you know, I could sit here all day and not see a doggone thing like I do most of the time, or I could actually do something productive and go learn more about God, because I need to learn about him. And I got down, I walked out to my truck, and I met my wife, who had decided to visit this church in the parking lot. I think it shocked her. And that began my new life of meeting face-to-face in church to learn about Jesus. It wouldn't have made sense to me. You couldn't have forced me to do it. You couldn't have guilted me into it. But I can say that when the Holy Spirit moved in my heart, I see why those people in that picture on that wall over there in a persecuted country risk their lives to may have that meeting right there that you see. You know, if they are found out, they are all going to go to prison or die. Why would they do that? Because they belong to Jesus. and because of these reasons we're going to talk about today. So let's read 2 John chapter 1, the only chapter, verse 12 and 13. John, the apostle, says in this letter, "Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you, amen." I believe what he's saying is the church where I pastor is greeting your church, and I wish we could be together. I long to be together, and I will come to you someday. So why does the church meet face to face? I think this is just one of the reasons we're going to explore here today. But I came up with, as I prayed about this and I looked at the word on that next slide, we're going to see, I think number one reason is because God said to. We look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 27, which we're going to take a look at. We're going to see God said to. We're also going to see because, why do we meet face to face? Because God shows up when we do. That's what we pray for. You know, we meet here on Saturday, and we pray as a group, a leadership group in this church, and anybody else that wants to join us. One of our number one prayers is that God will show up here. God will join us. God will be pleased to be among us. And also, what we just read here in 2 John, verse 12, that our joy may be full. So let's just jump right in this Hebrews passage, because God said to meet face to face when possible. Guys, I'm not going to say that like if you miss a service, oh no, you're going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when it's at all possible, I think this is the way God wants us to meet. He wants us to be in the same place together when we can. You know, I meet with the church in Sri Lanka sometimes. Obviously, I can't fly over there every time. So we get on some type of social platform and everything. But it's just not the same. I've been there with them. It's better when I'm there. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to read that verse 25. You may have heard this verse, but we're going to read the verses on both sides of it because I think it's important that we keep context. Look at verse 24. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." You know why we meet together? It's because we need to stir one another up. Do you ever cook on a fire, you know, outside or on charcoal? What happens when the charcoal kind of burns down and starts to get gaps between it? It dies out. It gets like ashes on top of it, and it just don't breathe well. And if you stir it up a little bit, what happens? You begin to get flames again off of the wood or the charcoal or whatever it is. You begin to get that heat. We need to stir one another up to love and good works. Do you ever get discouraged when you've been away from the body of Christ for a while? Sure, it's natural. That's why he wants us to meet. And then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Guys, I don't think this is the same whenever we just, you know, write a letter. It's good, but it's not the best. I think it's the best when we get together and we can rub shoulders. We can look at each other. We can be in the same room. We can encourage one another. And it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some. Some people, did you ever notice you miss a couple of weeks? It don't take long to get in the habit of not coming. Do I get an amen? Has anybody ever been there? Just a couple of weeks, you begin to develop a habit really quick. And that's why he's saying some have gotten in that habit. That's the manner that we can get in really quickly. But instead, exhorting one another. You're here for exhortation, lifting up, and teaching, encouraging through the word. And so much more. As you see today, capital D, approaching. Do you know we're in the end times? And everybody says, oh no, he's saying it's going to happen next week. I'm not going to even guess. I don't know. No one does. But I know from the time Jesus went back to heaven, we began to be in the last days. And you know what? The day's approaching. We can see the signs all over the place, and if something don't change quick, it could be soon. Yes, God may still give us a revival. I'm praying for it. I pray it'll last another 100 years and many people will get saved, or 1,000 years of people getting saved. It'd be great, populating heaven. But what if today's the day? Do you want to be found faithful? Do you want to be doing what Jesus said? Because here's what he says. Yes, these letters are not read. It is the book of Hebrews, but it's still God's word, right? Still God's word, all of it, from page 1 of Genesis to the last page of Revelation. It's God's word. Hebrews is God speaking to us. And he's saying, continue to do it even more as you see the day approaching. Let's follow up with these last two verses in this passage. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for us, but certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Guys, as we read it in context, we need to encourage one another because there's a lost and dying world out there who we need to be able to encourage when we go out from here. So I need to be on fire for Christ when I leave this place. So we're here to stir one another up. And also, if you know you need to be, don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. He wants us to follow him in obedience and a walk of faith. So that's the first reason, because God said to. Let's move on to the second reason, because God shows up. That should be enough of a reason. If I think God may show up in that meeting because the word's going to be preached and because prayers are going to be made and because there's saints there, man, I should be excited and expectant to what's going to happen. Look at Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is speaking to the believers. And he says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Guys, right there is enough of a promise for me. And yeah, that can mean, you know, praying together over the phone. I get that. Like, we can be in agreement over the phone. But this is talking about being in the midst of us. As we are in one place, God's here. He's with us. Isn't that awesome? And so let's look at some other scriptures that talk about what happens when God shows up. Because this is exciting. God still does this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, they were all with one accord in one place. They were face to face. They were face to face. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. Guys, if you weren't there, it didn't happen to you. It happened to those who showed up. And you know what? And whenever it happened to them, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So continuing daily with one accord, I skipped down a few verses. We know what happened after that. 3,000 people came along and got saved. 3,000 people came along from all different areas of the world, and because they were speaking in this heavenly tongue, they understood it in their own language. It brought understanding. This was not a time where people were doing stuff that didn't make sense. God made it make sense to people of all different languages. This is what happens when God shows up. It's amazing what happens. And so we've got this happening, and you know what? After those 3,000 people were convicted of their sin, that's the first thing that's got to happen. They were convicted of their sin. The Holy Spirit was there. He brings conviction. Then they said, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent of your sins and be baptized. And they were baptized. And then continuing daily with one accord. You see, they stayed together after that. And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Guys, they continued to meet face to face, even when they didn't have to, so to speak. They did it because they wanted to. God put the want to in their hearts. And another example of when God shows up, we jump forward to Acts chapter 4. I encourage you, go home and read the whole book of Acts, because you're going to see what God does whenever he shows up. It's amazing. But for time purposes, we're just going to jump forward. There's this place in Acts chapter 4 where they had been persecuted for the faith, and the apostles came back together after this persecution to pray. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. You know why we show up? Because God shows up. And when God shows up, we leave here with more boldness. Do you leave this church with more boldness? I pray you do. That you will speak about God, that you will live it out more boldly every day of your life. And that being encouraged in the church might help you to grow. Because God says to do it. That's the second reason. The third reason, man, I'm going to say, I think John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said this directly into my heart when I read this. 2 John verse 12, that our joy may be full. Do you want your joy to be full? Do you just want half the joy that God wants to give you? Do you just want a quarter of the joy that God wants to give you? Do you want all of the joy God wants to give you? Having many things to write you. I did not wish to do it with paper and ink. It wasn't just that he was lazy or didn't want to write it. It said he wanted to be in their presence. What happens when you see your brothers and sisters? Does it bring joy to your heart? You know, if they just handed you, somebody handed you a note and said, this is from Steve. I'd say, well, that was nice of Steve to write this. But like when I see Steve and he comes over, he shakes my hand and we have that fellowship, it's way better. And I've got some of my immediate family here. When I see Daniel and Beth come, it blesses my heart. John and Haley, they've moved back from Virginia. You know why? Part of the reason why it was so important to me? So that we could worship with our oldest son. That blesses our heart, our grandchildren, our brothers and sisters, JD and Shirley. You've been with us ever since before we came. We got here and they were here. They were being faithful, Bill and Sharon and all of you guys, we look forward to seeing you and being with you. Ben and Alexis and Adam and Anna, we get to see them sometimes through the week too. We get to see some of you guys through the week. We love it. We don't just do this because we have to. My dad used to ask me, he didn't understand whenever he was still lost, you know. We worked together and we'd be working late on a Wednesday night and I'd just cut everything off and I'd say, hey. He go, what you doing? I said, I'm packing up the tools. I got to get to church. What, are you afraid you're going to go to hell if you just miss one service? That's what he would say. He was kind of a wise guy. If you knew my dad, I mean, he was fun to be around, but he was kind of, he loved to be kind of sassy. What are you, come on, all the way there, he'd be saying, oh, come on, you ain't going to go to hell if you just miss one service. I said, Dad, it ain't because I'm afraid of going to hell. It's because I know I'm going to heaven. You know what? I want to be there with God's people. I want to be there and pray with them because God shows up. And he didn't get it. But you know what? He knew I wasn't backing off. So we'd pull up to the church parking lot. I'd get out. I always drove. It was, you know, group thing. He slept while I drove on the way home. And except for on that one day, he aggravated me. And I wish he was still around so I could hear him. But anyway, he did eventually get saved, and he stopped giving me a hard time about this. But I'd get out, and I'd say, well, Dad, you're going to have to drive the rest of the way because I don't have time to take you home tonight. And the next day, either that night or whatever, we'd go by and I'd get my truck, or Shelly'd have to take me over to work the next day so I'd get my truck, you know, and drive us to work. But here's the thing. It meant something. Sometimes my boots were so muddy from working out in them old fields, cutting off logs and stuff, I'd have to leave my boots at the door. I'd have to roll up my pants legs and wash off at the water hydrant outside and come into the church, and I never had one person complain about me being a little dirty because they knew why I was there. I was there to pray with them. And some people say, well, I can't go because I got a little dust on my clothes or whatever. Man, I wanted to be there. You know why? Because I couldn't wait to be in the house of God with my brothers and sisters and have God show up. I saw God show up. I'll tell you about a time when God showed up. We were in a prayer service on Wednesday night, and a lady stood up, and in the middle of the prayer, we had little prayer groups all over the room after we had had a Bible study, and she said, I've never met the Jones' son, John. He was away at college in Virginia at the time. She said, I have never met him, but I have an overwhelming urge in my heart that we need to pray for him tonight. And I tell you, it still puts chills all over me. She stood up, and that dear saint said, we need to pray for John. She stopped everything. She took that risk of being embarrassed. And we all got together in that church. There was probably about 20 of us, and we started praying for John, our son. And I'm sitting over there kind of starting to worry a little bit, thinking, what, is there some kind of emergency I don't know about? But we prayed. Do you know he was at a meeting, and a convocation meeting back in that college, at Liberty College? He was up at the altar giving his heart back to Jesus. He had gotten far from him, and John was recommitting his life to the Lord that moment. We didn't know it then, but later he called and he told us what happened, and we put two and two together. It matters when we show up. We got to see a miracle happen. And you know what? We didn't just get to see it, we had to be a part of it. It wasn't us saying we need to pray for John, it was a lady who didn't even know him. God bless her soul. She's gone on to be with Jesus now, but I appreciate the encouragement and what she did for our son that night. God used her. And you know what? God wants your joy to be full. He wants to involve you in this. He wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to meet face to face. And you know what? You got an enemy who hates it when you do it. He doesn't want you to have the full joy. In fact, he wants to steal every bit of it he can, because he came to steal, kill, and destroy. His name is Satan, and he hates it when we meet. You know why? Because when the church meets, God shows up. He's glorified. We are encouraged. And you know what? The devil loses ground. You all remember what Jesus said? He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know why I believe it looks like sometimes the gates of hell are prevailing? It's because the church isn't meeting. That we're not really pouring our hearts out and serving in the way that he wants us to. And I think God's encouraging us to step up. Of course, we're going through these times as a testing time. We're going through these times so that God will draw more people to himself. But we're going through these times so he'll teach the church to meet. Meet and pray and worship the way we're called to do. And that way we'll be encouraged, and the devil will lose ground. Don't we want to see that devil lose ground? Amen. We're going to end with one more scripture. This comes from Luke chapter 14. I'm going to ask you to turn it there in your Bibles. It was more verses than what I want to try to put on the screen. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 24. It just makes sense to meet with the very ones that you're going to be with forever. Guys, if you're saved and your neighbor's saved, you're going to heaven. Guess what? We're going to be stuck together forever. I hope you like each other. If you don't like me now, you will then, because I'll be perfect. We'll like each other then. So let's start getting used to it now. Okay? Let's start getting used to it now. Let's see what this says in Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Sounds like a good thing. And he said, a certain man gave a great supper, and invited many. It is interesting. You know, we're going to eat in heaven. We're actually going to eat with Jesus. Did you know that? So what this guy was saying was really close, man. I mean, he was on it. And Jesus said, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to them, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go see it, and I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. You know, I heard it said one time, and it was kind of an interesting statement. Somebody said, if your faith ain't strong enough to get you to church, what makes you think it's going to get you to heaven? It's okay to make excuses to come into church. I mean, I'm not like the truant officer or the enforcer, okay? I go by and visit people when they've missed a few Sundays just to make sure that they know that we don't want to be neglectful. And oftentimes they begin to feel guilty if I come by and they're like, oh, well, Pastor, I this. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to feel uncomfortable around me, because that ain't the point. I just want you to know I care, okay? But you know what? God's inviting us, just like he's inviting us to this great feast in heaven. If we're looking forward to being in heaven, let's start practicing right now. Let's just make sure that we aren't too busy about our own thing. I remember laying down the fishing pole and saying, I guess I can fish on another day. I'm going to start putting God first. This is the time when the church meets. I'm going to start going. I don't even like fishing anymore. I'm a fisher of men. It's way more fun. I fish in the water every now and then. It's great. I am so thankful that I chose what's better, what's best, because God has blessed me so immensely. I cannot tell you. He wants to bless all of us. Let's make sure we're not too busy for his blessing. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, I pray that as we've all sat under the teaching of your word, that, Lord, of anything that I have said that wasn't truly you speaking through me, that you will just erase it from anyone's memory, but Lord, that they will only remember what you're saying to them right now. Lord, as you've spoken through your word, you've shown us that you have told us to meet face to face. You have told us that you show up, and you have told us it's so that our joy will be full, that we should just take you at your word. That's why we meet face to face. And I pray that we'll make it our manner of life. Thank you for those that are here. Sometimes I feel like I'm just preaching to the choir. But even the choir needs to be encouraged sometimes. Help us to be encouraged by your word to be even more faithful in the future. And that we would find even more ways to meet with believers at other times. It says they met daily from place to place. They broke bread together. They ate their food with gladness of heart. They fellowshipped with one another. They were close. And the church added to the number daily. Another place it says the church multiplied. God, I pray that they would see the lost world out there, that we are yours by the way we love one another. Help us to come to church because we want to. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.